We're in a series titled Created to Dream. This is week 6. And I hope that you've stuck it out in the small groups and the life groups that meet during the week. This study has challenged my heart that if you and I have a dream, we can kind of figure out where we're at in the stages. And so it's been a great journey for me. And the last week was week 5. And the theme was dealing with difficulties. Now, I pulled 3 simple thoughts out of the lesson. I want to share them with you. And, you know, in the book of Acts, Paul's on a boat, a ship, and the ship broke apart, and the ship was lost, but all the sailors, all the people on the boat were saved. And you never know when you're going to hit a shipwreck in your life. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Other times people do it to us, or it can be a combination of. But here's what you got to do if you've had a shipwreck. Number one, you got to identify or confess your part of it. I mean, what part did I play? How can I learn from this? What do I need to fix or try to make right? Number two, confront the issue. What's that mean? It means dealing with the emotional hit or whatever it is in your life. Confront it to try and resolve it. And number three, claim a promise. What does that mean? You go into God's word and you find a promise that you claim over your shipwreck. And the way you get through a difficulty is you claim one or more promises over time that God will help bring healing and hope, and you get back into a better place. But it's dealing with difficulties. All right. So this morning is part 6. And the title of the message today is Stretching My Imagination. God is the author of imagination. Napoleon said, imagination rules the world. In other words, we are made in God's image, and we are creatures of imagination. And the whole theme of this message is this. By the end of the message, I hope that your imagination is being stretched. You know why? It's who God is. And he plants dreams in people's hearts that will stretch us. It'll be beyond our own ability to pull it off. And so God is looking for a few good people, church full of people, who he can drop into the soul of their individual lives or the soul of the church and stretch us to do something that's never been done before, if we're available to receive it in faith and to act upon it. And so today, as we think about stretching our imagination, read with me 1 Corinthians 2:9 in your notes. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You're here today, and you have no idea what God could do in the remainder of your life. You have some ideas, but do you realize because of who God is and the powerful presence of what he can do, he could do something in your future you haven't even thought about yet. It's the power of God's presence in our life. Now, the next verse, Ephesians 3:20, is our year verse for the church. Let's read it together. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. Now, in the King James Version, it says exceeding abundantly above. The Amplified uses the word super abundantly. The NIV uses immeasurably more. God is able to do immeasurably more in your life than you can ask or imagine, regardless of what age you are today, because he's the God that creates and has the power of imagination in all he's done in the world. Now, at the beginning of this series, I talked about a dream, and I want to go back to our basic definition. A dream is not when you go to bed late at night and you have a wild dream. I'm not referring to that kind of dream. But the dream we're talking about is this. It's a mental portrait of God's preferred future for your life. It's a picture. It's an idea. It's something you have passion for. It could be in your marriage. It could be with your family. It could be in the community. It could be in your church. You have something, a mental portrait or picture of what you believe God wants to do in your life. Here's the problem. There are things called mental blocks and emotional barriers that prevent us from dreaming or getting imaginative of what God could do. Life wears us down. We get beat up. And the older we get, the less our imagination kicks in. We become realistic and practical. But here's the secret, folks. Regardless of your age, you know what psychologists tell us? If you really want to live, you have to learn to dream. Let me say that again. Psychologists say if you really want to be alive on the inside, you better be dreaming, because that brings aliveness to life. And the older we get, as I said, we tend to reduce our sense of imagination, whereas a child, it's incredible the things they come up with. They're just imaginative kids. But God is saying to all of us here, listen, he has a dream for us regardless of our age, and it's a mental portrait of a preferable future that he has for your life. And I'll say it again. You may not even have thought about it yet. And he's got something for you that we can't even ask or imagine, but he'll download it into our lives. So the title of the message, the question to ask is this. Imagine how God can use you. I want you to imagine in the remainder of this service, what could God do through you? So there's four things I want to share, as an outline. Let's get started. Number one, as we think about how God can use each of us, number one, let go of your doubt. Let go of your doubt. Doubt limits us, and it helps us procrastinate in an unhealthy way, and we come up with excuses. For example, God could never use me because of my past. We get that. I made too big of a mistake 5, 10, 20 years ago, and he can never use me. It's an excuse. You know why? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he wants us to forget it and move on. The problem is doubt creeps into our heart, and we become a captive of something that happened in the past. So we find here that we have to let go of doubt. Let's read together James 1, 6, and 7 in your notes. Anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown up and down by the wind. They should not think they'll receive anything from the Lord. Doubt becomes a thief in our lives. And it says here in James, if anybody doubts, you're like a wave, and the wind just blows it back and forth. There's no stability there. And so we have to learn to deal with this thing called doubt. Now, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, Joshua is taking over for Moses. Pretty big, tall order. And in verse 9, let's read it together. Be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Four times he talks about banishing fear, doing something to push back on fear and doubt. Now, you may be here today and you're like Joshua. Joshua was falling in the footsteps of Moses, but not only that, he was going to lead the people into the promised land where there were seven large, powerful nations, groups of people. And God says, you know what, Joshua? You're going to lead the children of Israel to conquer. You see, God will give us an assignment, and it may be bigger than we are, And it's so easy to doubt. How can this really happen? How can we pull it off? But let me say this. Doubt and faith is a choice. Let me say it again. Doubt is a choice. Faith is a choice. And so whatever your circumstance and situation you're in, when you think of your dream, it's a choice to push back on doubt and to believe God for something better. I got a couple quotes here. Here's the first one. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. Doubt will eat away at your confidence. It's a choice. Here's another one. Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. Let me explain that. If you have a dream in your life and you haven't really acted on it, it's going to breed a sense of doubt and fear. On the other hand, if you have taken a step towards something that you believe God wants you to do, He's put it in your heart, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have confidence and courage. And so inaction literally somehow compounds doubt. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow doubt to get a foothold in our life. So what causes doubt? Two things. It's in your notes. Don't have a slide for it. Here it is, letter A. The first thing that causes doubt is when we compare ourselves and my abilities to others. Comparing my abilities to others. Have you ever looked around the church or on TV and you saw this person be able to sing this way, or they can speak this way, or they have this amazing ability and gift in this area, and you look at them and all of a sudden you feel like you're shrinking. We feel small. I can't do that, and I feel discounted, like who am I? You see, when we compare ourselves with another person that may be a star in a certain area, we feel smaller ourselves. And the Bible says it's dumb to compare yourself to other people. You know why? You and I have to run our race. We have to do what we do best. And when we focus on who we are, listen, become the best version of yourself, whatever that is. The best version of you. And when you do that, you have to be careful not to compare yourself. Otherwise, our confidence and our sense of who we are shrinks. Letter B. The second thing that causes doubts is this. It's remembering my past failures. You want a sure-footed recipe for causing doubt in your life? Rehearse your mistakes. It's kind of like we have a movie projector in our head. And we can go back to 1995 or 2005. We can go back to 2015. And you push a button and we replay the failure. We replay the mistake over and over and over again. You know what we're doing? We are sowing seeds and discounting ourselves inside us. And God says, hey, I want you to forget it. If you have confessed it and you're forgiven, forget it. Maybe there's somebody here today that your big decision and takeaway from this service is you need to forget something. You know what that means? Don't push the replay button in your head. Let it go. You know why? Keeps us hostage. Our doubts rise, but we need to shrink doubt and push back against it. So letter A, don't compare yourself. You get in big trouble. Just run your race. Letter B, remembering your past failures won't do anything good for you. You learn from it, take away the lessons, but don't let it become a movie reel in your mind that goes over and over again. All right. So, number one, we need to let go of doubt. Number two, the second thing we need to look at is this. Look for a promise in the scriptures. Look for a promise. Read with me Joshua 1:3 in your notes. I promised Moses I would give you this land. So I will give you every place you go in the land. When Joshua took over, He was filling some pretty big shoes because Moses is referred to in the Old Testament as one of the greatest prophets ever. Kind of a pretty sobering assignment to come behind Moses. But here's what God said to him. 13 times, 13 references to the word promise. I promised Moses I would give you this land, so I will give to you every place in this land that you will go. Find a promise in God's word that can apply to the dream or the struggle or whatever is going on in your life. So read with me the next verse. It's from Joshua 23:14. Now my time has come to die. Every one of you, that God has given you all the good things that he promised. Every promise he made has been kept. Not one has failed. Joshua was at the end of his life. And by the way, he was 80 when he got commissioned to follow in Moses' footsteps. He was 80 years old. He's now at the end of his life and he says this. Every promise God gave to us, to me, he has fulfilled. You see, God uses ordinary people. He doesn't need superstars. You take a look at Moses. He murdered a guy. How about David, committed adultery? How about Paul, a religious terrorist? How about Rahab? She was a prostitute. How about Peter? He had a temper problem. God uses people who are available, and they claim the promise for a better future. You may be here today, and your biggest struggle is somehow stopping the replay. Don't push the replay button in your mind. And you get a promise that says, wait, if I'm forgiven, I can forget it, and I can move forward. I got a couple slides I want to show you. Here's the first quote. Let God's promises shine on your problem. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She spent a year in a concentration camp with her sister. And find a promise and let it shine on your shipwreck, your problem, your difficulty, your dream. And when you do that, let me tell you, it'll begin to grow. God will be at work when the promise is claimed for yourself. Here's another one. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. The question is, do we doubt it or do we claim it? And if we claim it over the problem, over the dream, whatever it is, let me tell you, God is released to work so that going forward, life is totally different. I want to share with you three promises that God gives to people who live for him. And this applies to everybody. It's in your notes. Don't have a screen for it, but you can fill this in. Letter A. The first thing he promises for anybody that lives for him is this. Something called strength. He promises strength. In verse 5, he said to Joshua, no one will be able to stand up against you. Do you realize that whoever you are, if you are sold out, if you are all in, if you are passionate to put the kingdom first, if God is your priority, you want to serve Christ, you want to make your life count, he promises he's going to give you strength. Regardless of how weak you might feel. He will give you strength. Letter B. The second thing he gives is success. In verse 7, he told Joshua, be careful to obey the law of Moses that you may be successful wherever you go. The Bible uses the word success very sparingly, but you know what it's used in connection with? It's connected to obeying God's word brings about success. They're intertwined. And if you want to be successful wherever you go in life, I mean, whether it's work, to the grocery store, to church, to your job, if you want to be successful wherever you go, the secret is this. Be careful to obey what's in the law, the word of God, and God will bring you success. He'll give you strength as well. And finally, letter C. The third thing is this. He will give you support. Support. In verse 9, he told Joshua, do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you. You know what support is? He says, if you're in a place of depression, or you feel discouraged about life, he says he'll be your support. He says, I want you to push back on it. You know, maybe you're in that stage or season or circumstance where you feel terrified, you feel discouraged. Let me tell you, he'll be your support. So he gives us strength when we're weak. He gives us success wherever we go, and he gives us support. Read with me now Joshua 1:8 in your notes. Always remember what is written in this book. Study it day and night to be sure to obey everything that is written there. If you do this, you'll be wise and successful in everything. What a great promise. Find a promise in God's word to literally claim over your shipwreck, or to claim over your dream, to claim over you what you believe God's purposes is, and you just park yourself on it and you water it and let God go to work on it. Number three, the third thing we have to do is this. We have to lean on the Lord himself. We lean on the Lord. Read it with me, Joshua 1:5. No one will be able to defeat you all your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forget you. You see, we come to a place where we have to lean heavily on God's provision. It means that he holds us up. I have found that we all naturally and normally want to lean on other people, and there are times we do that. But here's an insight. At some point along the way, whether it's a husband or wife, mother or father or friend, they won't be able to do everything for us that we'd like for them to do. They're a human being. And we have to lean upon God. I've done a thinking about different families in Walton, and there's some amazing families in this area. They're all about family. That's a huge tribute to them. It's a great attribute. But you know what happens? If something happens to that family unit that is bigger than they are, and they don't have a faith factor, something's going to give. I've seen it happen repeatedly. People that are all about family, they love each other, and that's awesome. But unless they lean heavily upon God, there will come, something will come into their lives that will literally unravel what they are, who they are. You know why? They don't have the faith factor in what God can do for them. They have to lean upon the Lord himself. Read with me Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's one of my favorite passages. You know what it says? Don't lean on your own understanding. You got to lean heavily upon God to provide for where he guides you to fulfill the dreams he's placed in you. And when you do that, we're right where he wants us. Here's a couple quotes. The weaker we feel, the harder we lean, and the harder we lean, the stronger we grow. You may be here today, and you literally are weak, but you're leaning hard. Can I tell you? You're in the exact best spot you can be. You're leaning upon God himself. Here's another quote. Real true faith is man's weakness leaning on God's strength. Let me stop here. You got a dream in your life that's just bigger than how can this happen? The secret is leaning on God, who is the supernatural presence and power to make a difference. And when you do that, you're in a position for him to work in a way to do things that we couldn't ask or imagine. So number one, let go of doubt. It's a choice. Number two, look for a promise in the word. Claim it over your shipwreck, over your dream. Number three, lean on God himself, on the Lord. Make him your centerpiece of life. Number four. Okay, this is a good one. The fourth thing we need to do is this. We launch out in faith. Launch out in faith. Let me explain what this means. There comes a point where you stop discussing it, you stop talking about it, you stop praying about it. You just stop, and you know what you do? You step in. You go for it. You take action. The greatest example is in the book of Joshua. The people are about to cross over the Jordan into the Promised Land. Verses 10 and 11 in your notes. Let's read it. Then Joshua issued instructions to the leaders to tell the people to get ready to cross the Jordan River. So there came a point where they didn't talk about it anymore. They didn't discuss it. They didn't have a meeting about it. They said, we got to do it. Now, you may have a dream or an idea in your heart that you feel good about, but you've never taken the step to go for it, whatever that means, whatever that next step is. And so the children of Israel, here's what happened. They said, we're going to cross the Jordan River, and it's at flood stage. And the instruction was that the priests, the leaders, would take the Ark of the Covenant. They would step into the Jordan. They had to step into the Jordan. Listen, they got a foot away from it, and nothing happened. But it wasn't until one of the leaders stepped into the water, and the waters began to peel back. Listen, the miracle happened when somebody stepped in. What do you need to step into? What do you need to go for? What is it that you've dreamed about for a long time, but you've never really went for it? Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's doing something you haven't done before, helping kids, senior citizens. You got a dream in your heart, and you know where you're at? You've thought about it. You've prayed about it. You've discussed it. You've literally processed it over and over, but you're at the stage where you say, you know what? I got to step in. I got to go for it. And when that happened, when the leaders took that step, the water began to be pulled back and the people went across on dry ground. Ecclesiastes 11:4. It says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Isn't that true? How perfect does it have to be? Or when you, after time, pray about it, you say, you know what? It's time for me to step in. Read with me the last verse, Ephesians 3:20 in your notes. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. This is our verse, Ephesians 3:20, immeasurably more. I'm going to apply it in two ways. You have an individual dream in your life. And God is calling you to step in. It's time to take action. Just take one step at a time. That's all it takes. But you take that next step. And here's the other application. God calls church families, bodies of people, groups of people to step in. What does that mean? It means that we get a hold of or we discern what we believe God is leading us to do as a church body. Maybe it's 195 countries and wanting to touch the world in $500 increments. I mean, it could be a local ministry. It could be a lot of things. But listen, God gives church bodies assignments. And if the people discern it correctly, it can be a jumbo-sized assignment, but if they believe God for it, they got to step in. You can get up to a foot of the water's edge and have the best dream that you could think possible of how to make a difference in a community. But if you never step in, it never happens. So whether it's your individual life or the life of the church, hey, let me tell you, imagine how God could use us. It's called imagination. You just let God lead us. And God is such a powerful, imaginative God. He's waiting to drop things into people's lives if we receive it in faith and deal with our doubt. Here's a couple of slides. I like this one. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Let me stop here. You never will see the whole staircase. But you know in your heart what the next step is. That's how God works. So what is your next step? What is it he's calling you to do? Here's another quote. It's the words of Jesus. Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Imagination, when we tap into God's purposes and plans for our lives, brings aliveness to your individual life and the life of the church. What I'm witnessing in the life of the church over the last couple months is a growing aliveness. It's like, whoa, this is happening. I mean, people are stepping up and different things are going forward. And it's an exciting thing. But God wants us to step in when that time is right. So four simple things. Let go of doubt. If you're forgiven, don't push the button to rehearse it. Number two, look for a promise in the Word of God. It's like a handlebar that you'll believe for something better going forward. Number three, lean heavily on God himself. It's the only way forward. Number four, launch out into faith. What's your next step? Here's my final quote. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. Okay, here's my question. Faith is a living, daring confidence. Where are you at in terms of stepping in? What's he calling you to do? This is the individual dream. This is you. This is God's picture of your future. It's an individual journey. It's just for you. What's he got for you? What's he calling you to step in on? Oh, he'll show you. He'll show you right now. This is your next step. You got to go for this. But I want to expand it just a little bit more. As I said earlier, God does it for church families. It's a bigger assignment. It's something that, wow, I mean, we're going to try this. Or, I mean, as I look back over the past few years, there's been things that we've stepped into, whether it be the pavilion or the children's ministry and different things that are going forward. We step in and the waters part. The same is true then for us as a church family. And, you know, I look for the end of 2023. We got a couple months left. I think we're going to continue to accelerate in the experience of God's blessing. And listen, I look for 2024 to be a better year than this year. This year, 2023, I've shared this before, has been one of the best years for me. It's hard to explain. The theme gripped my heart at the beginning, and I look back at the military, and I look back at the Pancake 10, and different things, the women's conference, all the good things happening in the life of the church, shoeboxes, you name it. And I think 24 will continue to ramp up because of God's favor if we as an individual and as well as a church family have a living, daring confidence in God's grace. And when we get to the end of next year, who knows what kind of a story will have been written because of faith that makes a difference. And we use our imagination of how God could use us. We let go of doubts, look for a promise, we lean on the Lord, and we launch out in faith. Let's bow for prayer. I want you to take just a few moments and let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. And here's the question. What is your next step? He'll show it to you. your next step. Just let him show you. And make a decision. Don't let doubt talk you out of it. That's not from God. Faith is from God. Make a choice. Claim your promise. Lean hard on the Lord and then launch out in faith. Your next step. Just make yourself available. Say, God, I'm making a decision right now, today, that I will do the next step, whatever that means for you. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll give us all a living, daring confidence in who you are. And I pray you'll make this church family a group of dreamers. Dreamers about our future that only you could fulfill. How we could change the world. How we could change our community. Change our county. How we could make a difference wherever we go. And Father, I pray that living, daring confidence will settle into each heart here today. That whatever dream you have planted into the people's hearts that is from you, you'll bring it to pass because we're going to receive it by faith and act on it and step into the water and watch you work. Lord, we offer ourselves individually to you right now. And I pray for the person that may not have a dream that right now you will put something in their spirit they haven't even thought about. Or if they have one, you'll just affirm it and confirm it and grow it. And Lord, as a church, help us to discern what your calling is, your dream for us, as a church family, to make a difference here in Walton, New York, and beyond. Father, we love you. We thank you for this holy moment where your Spirit is speaking to each of us, those online. Stir our hearts with imagination of how you can use us, ordinary people who've been forgiven, we release our past, and we lay hold of our God-given future, the dream, the mental portrait of a preferable future for our lives. And for this, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.